Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning Indie Pro Call. Today is Halloween. Spooky that it's Halloween. It's scary. I actually seriously was going to start this call today with, I had considered doing like the creepy Halloween music and all of that stuff to start it today, but I decided, nah, we won't do that. But anyway, October 31st, Halloween. And it's scary enough that Iowa has 4 inches of snow, I've heard. So that to me is scary enough. I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, and or going to MotorVitality.com and listening there. Please do so. We definitely appreciate it when you're here live to be part of the discussion, but also really appreciate those of you that take the time and listen later. So welcome all of you. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions anybody has, or any comments or thoughts?
Hey, I do have a question.
Go, Stacy.
We've got, it's not my account, but it was another rep put in a softener, and it was a new well. Mm-hmm. Put it in, everything was great. About 2 months in, the water turned green, and it's not coming from the softener green, it's coming from the well, because he pulled it straight out of the out of the pressure tank. Mm-hmm. It's green. Mm-hmm. And I suggested he take out a tannin filter and run it through, because it was green and the pH was like 8.9. Mm. He took out a tannin filter and ran it through. The water came through the tannin resin clear and with a 6.9 pH. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, everything we know about tannins are, they're normally brownish. Can they be green? Because this is like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because he says it's like mint green.
Yeah, yep, definitely. I've seen them green. I've seen them yellow, brown, and yeah, the tannin resin would certainly lower the pH on it. In fact, sometimes you have to help with that process with tannin resin and add citric acid to a tannin unit, to a tannin brine tank, in order to help with the alkalinity or the pH and allow the tannin resin to do it. So, but yeah, definitely. I've seen it different colors. I've also seen it fluctuate. So you know, he said he put this in 2 months ago and it hasn't been there. But then if we had rain or we, you know, had variations in water tables in the well, for those of you that are listening who may not know, tannins are caused from decayed vegetation. And a prime example, and to kind of put it in perspective for you, Stacey, and answer your question, tea is a tannin.
Yes.
Okay. And so think of the different colors of tea that are out there.
That's true.
You know,
just always seen, but because he was telling me about it, and I'm like, I've got a tannin mini softener or tannin mini filter. I said, take it out there and try it at least. Because I said, logic says since it's vegetation, it could be green. I've just not seen it as green before.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it change color from the same well throughout the season, depending on what was happening and what was happening with the water tables and the wetlands and stuff like that. So anybody else have anything to add on that or questions about that? That's a good one, Stacy. Thank you. That absolutely. You know, particularly if you're not used to dealing with a lot of wells, you know, those are the types of things that can definitely throw you out. I mean, for sure. So, yeah, good one.
Actually, I don't run into them, but I had a case a couple years ago. So they, a couple, 3 years ago, so they put together a mini softener with tannin resin for me.
Yep, I did that. I carried one of those. Mm-hmm. I had a little problem test kit that I had that had, because the normal test kits don't come with a manganese test. A lot of them don't come with the sulfur test, you know, or tannins. So I actually had put together, because I was primarily on wells, a problem water test kit. that.
Yeah.
And so it's not a bad idea to have something like that even available at the office, because, you know, for those of you on the call that don't listen or that don't run across, you know, really bad problem water all the time, you know, it's a lot of times you don't have that stuff. But a very good one. Love it. See, I've been working for the last year or so primarily with companies that have a lot of municipal water. And it's funny to me how when you start talking about that kind of stuff, I start to get all excited. I'm like, problem water, because that's what I learned on, you know. Bob, I think you're on the call. Bob ran an appointment the other day, had 2.2 parts per million of iron, and I haven't seen that in a water test in a few months, and I'm going, yes, iron. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, no, good one. Very good. That was excellent. Anybody else have anything to add on that? Thoughts? Questions on it? So, good. Thank you, Stacy. How about, okay, anybody else have any other issues or questions or anything that happened that they want to share? Anything exciting? All right. Well, then with that, I actually wanted to, you know, 2 weeks in a row, story time with Kelly. You'll learn. You'll start to come prepared more with those questions or those things. I'm very close, and I'm hoping to, by the end of the year, have a couple really awesome guest speakers on here that some experts. It's been a little while since we had some experts. So lining up another salt expert, that one should be lined up here very soon. Talk to us about the different types of salt that we run across, you know, and we have had that before, but it's always nice to have somebody new and talk about that. We are going to be lining up a few calls. I know I've been saying this for a while on PFAS. That's coming up. Just so you guys are aware, I want to announce ahead of time that I'm really looking forward to next week. November 5th and 6th are the 2 days that Jen is, you know, has a birthday before me. And so next week when we're on, we'll probably start the call off, spend the entire time just talking about Jen's birthday and all of that. So that should be really exciting. We're going to have candles. Actually, I think Jen's going to run the call next week because I have an engagement. So, but her birthday is next week. So please join her and celebrate that.
And we will be holding the call on Kelly's birthday.
Okay, we're going to move on here. And sorry, Jen, you're breaking up. Nobody could really hear that. Yes, you'll hold the call on my birthday, but I'll be working. So anyway, topic for today. I was working with a client in Long Island a few weeks ago and stopped at a stoplight, and just sitting there waiting for the light to turn green, traffic all around me. Talking hands-free to one of our MV pros, and I say hands-free because I was completely innocent. And in fact, if you're ever driving through New York, they're like really nuts crazy about making sure you're hands-free. You're not even allowed to like touch a phone when you're driving. And some areas they're definitely enforce it more than others, but just be aware that New York is one of those states that you, if you're doing any time driving through there, you have to be hands-free. And a lot of the states are getting to be that way, I think, but New York is definitely one that's already there. Right, Jen?
Yeah, but if you get to know the judge, then you know it's okay.
They let you off, yeah. Jen had a ticket a couple years ago. I'm totally throwing you under the bus today, Jen. So
you are.
But I know, I'm so sorry. So anyway, I was sitting there at a stoplight, and here comes somebody. I didn't even see him coming. I mean, they come up over the hill behind me, doing about 30 miles per hour, and just slammed into the back of my car. Which was pretty awesome that I learned I had some really cool safety features in my Jeep Grand Cherokee, like little airbag explosive devices in the headrest that kept my head, you know, from my neck from whiplashing and stuff like that. But it destroyed the back of my car pretty good. Really did a ton of damage to the van. The guy did not have insurance or a valid driver's license or even a legally registered van. Or vehicle, but fortunately for me, I had full coverage, and so got it taken care of. Now, I look at it, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, it happened during the day. I had insurance. Everybody walked away from it. It was, you know, it could have been way, way, way worse with that many people. So it's not one of those things that I go, oh, that's bad luck. Actually, I feel very fortunate in the circumstances. So anyway, I took the car over to a body shop that has pretty good reviews. Actually they towed it and took it there, and the insurance company, I did feel a little bothered by it, because when I got there, I had to sign all these things digitally. And then I called they even got the insurance company after I'd signed the stuff digitally, which was given the impression, and granted, I did not read all the fine print, but I was given the impression that it was just the tow bill, right? Because they had towed the vehicle there, and I was responsible for the towing and stuff like that. The car was not drivable. They had to put it up on a truck. And so I got on the phone with the insurance company, and my insurance company told me that this particular body shop was out of network, which they said is no problem. They would still send an adjuster, but it may take longer. And if there were any questions or problems, they, you know, it would be much more difficult to go through the process to get everything fixed, because this particular body shop was not among the group that they had their agreements with or whatever. So then the guy at the body shop tells me, well, you've already signed authorization to let us do the work. Okay, lesson number one, you know, as a customer here, I can tell you that I felt pretty, I don't know, that was frustrating to me that they, you know, that they, I had called this insurance company, and I felt a little, like that was a little misleading, you know, on what they had done. But I proceeded to look at the reviews, and rather than arguing and fighting all of this, I looked at the reviews, and the reviews, you know, they did have, they had like 4.9 stars out of reviews and everything. So I talked to my insurance company while we were on the phone, and I said, you know, what happens? And they just said, well, it could just take a couple extra days. And the guy's sitting there talking to me from behind going, no, it won't. We're really fast. And usually, in fact, we have a relationship with the adjusters, and it's usually faster. So fine. Rather than going through the headache of having my car towed somewhere else and all of that stuff, I just said, you guys work on it. Now, fast forward, it took them 3 weeks. There's almost $10,000 of damage done to my car. And they fixed it, but they called me, and I went to pick it up. And when I first looked at the car, everything looked really good, actually. In fact, there had been this little buff thing, like a little scrape on the hood, or up on the right fender where somebody had bumped me in a parking lot or something, and I tried to wipe it off, and it had kind of scuffed the paint a little bit. And they had buffed that out and polished it up. You couldn't even see that was there. When I opened the car, it had obviously been completely detailed. I mean, beautifully detailed. I couldn't find a speck of dust anywhere inside the car. So I was already kind of impressed. I went in, I didn't owe anything. They had worked it out with the insurance company. They gave me the keys. The whole transition was very smooth. And so I was at this point feeling much better. This was over and beyond service so far. Stuff that I had not expected to happen. I had not expected them to detail my car completely inside and out. I'd expected the work to be done, you know, and for the paint to look good and everything, but I had not expected them to buff out the little nicks and dents. I mean, my car's, it's a 2013, and it's got, you know, received some nicks and dents over since it's been on the road. And they buffed that stuff out. I couldn't find a single thing from the outside. In particular, the thing looked like a brand spanking new vehicle. And inside, it smelled and looked like one as well. And so I got the keys, and I went to leave and adjusted my seat back and everything. And I've got a little push button start. It's a Chrysler product as a little push button, you know, that you're supposed to start there. Now, you can pull that little button out and use a regular key. But that button, the push button start, was gone, was not in the car. So I looked around for it, thinking maybe it was in one of the cup holders or whatever. So I went back inside and talked, you know, said, hey, where's the push button? He says, oh, it's in the cup holder. So I went back out thinking maybe I missed it again. I looked in the cup holder. Nope, nowhere, anywhere in the car. So I go back in and I say, it's not there. Do you guys have it around somewhere? And so keeping in mind that the process, that really easy process, now this is a little, you know, it's a little push button thing, not the end of the world. You know, it's, my car still runs, all of that stuff, but actually my remote, without that push button in there, the remote start won't work. The auto will lock and unlock. You know, when you, with the Chrysler products, you walk up to the door and the key, it senses the key. It won't work without that push button in there. I mean, there's things that, features of the car that turn off without that button in there. But anyway, one of the guys came out and he's looking for it in the cup holders. He couldn't find it. So he opens my hatch back up. And this is when I realized, wait a minute, all the little things that I'd had in the nooks and cranny of my car, pins, I mean, there had been trash, like there had been, you know, paper and receipt, you know, things. My car is fairly clean, but there's things that get shoved in cup holders and glove compartments and, you know, pins you know, little magnets and just things that are in the car. But everything, and the car had been, you know, I have a bunch of emergency stuff underneath the back thing, you know, where the spare tire goes in the hatchback. And of course they had to take all that stuff out in order to repair the rear of the vehicle and get everything going and everything. But he opens up the hatchback and he says, oh, they usually put the stuff in a bag in the back when they take it out. He opens up the hatchback in this that I had not noticed or looked at, and there's this big, huge black garbage bag, and stuff is just thrown in this bag. And it is, I mean, it's including all the trash, right? So they didn't throw away the trash. I guess I get that, because what if it had been a receipt that I needed or something of value? You know, they didn't know, right? So they just, but there was stuff. I had this little pack of nails that had, from when I'd taken the tools, and the box had opened up, and there were these little nails. It goes in one of my nail guns, and they had been thrown in there and just broken apart, and they're useless now. The whole box is useless, and I got to tell you, I was very frustrated. I mean, I got the car. I had to order one of those things on one of those buttons on Amazon because they didn't have any around. And by that time, the guy goes, "Well, we can order you one, you know," and he pulls it up, and they're $20 on Amazon. And I said, "You know what? Just don't worry about it. I'll order it." And I ordered it, and it was supposed to be there the next day. But now I get a thing that says they're back ordered, and it won't be here for like 2.5 weeks. So, first world problems, right? I got to drive my car around putting a key in the ignition like most people do. So, oh, wah, you know, here I am with my little tears coming out of my eyeballs, right? But but still, I was thinking about that experience in relation to what we do in out there in service. And I kind of wanted to have a discussion with you guys about this, because here's what I was thinking about. Overall, if I did the Ben Franklin thing, right? You know, where you make the list. You know, the pros and cons, the good and bad. Overall, if I were to list out the things that this body shop did that were what most would consider over and above, that surprised me in a good way, that made me feel, yeah, this is why they have really great reviews. Okay, overall, I think the list of those things would be higher, especially when it comes to the value of the things that they did. Okay, yet the two things that are pretty minor issues, I mean, everything that I had in the car was there. So what does it mean? I had to take a plastic bag and, you know, I had to pull the plastic bag out and it forced me to clean out my car. Okay, so I put the pins back and I'm like, oh my God, why do I even carry that in my car? I mean, oh, I totally forgot. That's where that was, you know, that type of stuff, right? So, but it took me an hour to kind of put my car back together with all the stuff in the nooks and crannies and, you know, that you kind of get used to. I mean, a lot of us have a vehicle that it's kind of like an office, like a second office, and you know where stuff is. So it took me an hour, and I had to spend $15 on this little, you know, and wait a couple weeks and for this little push-button plug. Yet, what I am thinking about when it comes to this body shop is losing the plug and the way they threw the stuff in the plastic bag. And I was thinking, what are we doing when we go in the home? What if we are 95% superior service? What if we go into the house and everything that we do, except for one minor little thing, you know, what are we doing that is erasing? Totally not fair to that body shop, because like I said, the vast majority of the things they did were really excellent, very superb, did an excellent job. But what sits in my, what I have to struggle with is, would I ever recommend this body shop? Would I say that's where you go? And is it fair to them? It doesn't matter if it's fair. I'm a customer, right? We could talk about, well, that's just not right and customers need to get over it. I mean, we did everything we could do, except they didn't. So here's the question, what are we doing that's leaving that bad taste in our customers' mouths? You know, are we completing the entire process in a way that makes them feel warm and fuzzy throughout the entire thing? Do you know what I mean? So, okay, tell me you guys' thoughts, please. Tell me what comes to mind as I'm talking about this stuff. Oh, goody, another Kelly story?
Well, I know, and this is going to get a little bit into the psychological part of it, but I recently read an article or saw something that talks about human nature. And human nature is to focus on the bad. And the reason why is because it's kind of our defense mechanism where, you know, and part of survival, I guess, is we always look for the bad so that we can combat it. So that's human nature for people to look at the negative before they look at the positive. But I think, you know, one of the best things you can do is beat it to the punch, you know, where you, if something does go bad, make sure that you immediately or as soon as possible, you address it with somebody and, you know, the customer or whatever, because that way, instead of hiding behind a rock, you know, that way you're letting them know, hey, this doesn't happen all the time and we apologize. What can we do to make it better?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, I was trying to think, could they have, you know, I think maybe one of the things that bothered me the most about it was how nonchalant they were. You know, like, oh, you know, because it wasn't that big a deal, and they acted like it wasn't that big a deal. And the truth, the absolute reality was that it wasn't that big a deal. You know, it was not the end of the world. It certainly did not or should not have ever ruined my day. you know, especially when you look at the bigger picture, that everything was better than it should have been. You know what I mean? But I think I wanted, as a customer, I wanted kind of what you're feeling like, Jen. I wanted somebody to acknowledge that that shouldn't have happened, and to acknowledge that it did happen, not to just brush it off like it basically like a, we'll just get over it type thing. I didn't want to get over it. Darn it. I wanted to be upset. I didn't want to be upset, but that's what it felt like. I got to tell you, I really struggled with that, you know, with trying to exactly what you're saying. It was like, you know, to find the positive out of that. But I don't think most customers would. I think, in fact, a lot of customers would continue, you know, would judge a company on those one or two things. What's everybody else think? What do you guys think? Did I just stop whining? Get over it?
I don't think so. We have those customers. That's mm-hmm. just it. We have those customers. And, I mean, I can think of, you know, there were a couple instances recently with, you know, some of our MV Pro calls that they've called up and they're like, oh, my gosh, she's really upset about this. Or, you know, he's pretty upset about that. And, again, it's one of those just get over it moments. But to us, it's like, well, it happens. To them,
yeah.
It may have made their day really bad. And
so
again,
what do we do as a company? Let's put ourselves in that body shop position, but kind of relate it to what we do. And in the last 5 minutes of the call here, let's talk about how we, number one, how we avoid it. And look, things happen. So I don't know if you're always going to avoid those things. The reality is they got a new detailer. They told me that. And probably the detailer saw the thing in the cup holder and just didn't realize what it was and sucked it up with a vacuum cleaner or something. Who knows? Okay. They didn't throw away my receipts that were obviously watered up and like a coffee cup that was in there. They didn't throw that away, but maybe they thought that button was trash. Who knows? New detailer. Whatever, you can't imagine what would happen, okay? So, but that stuff happens, right? It happens. What do we do when we go out there and we know we've given a great price, we've given great service, we've given all of this stuff? What do we, you know, but then the installer drops a little bit of salt on a piece of carpet, you know, wet salt drips on some carpet and it like stains the carpet, you know, just what do we do in that situation? What do we do when, I think actually that one's even bigger. What do we do when somebody drops a pile of salt on the concrete and leaves a pile of dirty salt, on the driveway, or a little bit of fluid drips out of their van while it's sitting in their driveway? Not the end of the world, right? Not long-term damage. But the customers, it's upset. They're upset by it. How do we fix that? How do we address that with the customer? And I hope the first answer is not just to give them money off. That's what customers call in demand. They say, well, I want $100 off. I don't want to have to pay for that. There's got to be another way that we handle that with the customer. How do we do it?
Get an electric car instead.
Jose. Jose, that was a good answer. That's good. Good answer. The man who practices what he preaches too. So, they what else?
First thing, apologize. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget to say those two simple words.
Yeah, I think that's key because this body shop never apologized to me for it.
I think most importantly, you know, is to have integrity. And let's say if oil drops in the driveway, even if the owner did not notice it, one should say, I'm sorry, something is wrong with the car. I'll have somebody come and clean it. Or, you know, if there's something that you can use, like maybe a rag or something, just to get it mostly off. And most of the time, yeah, they're okay with it.
Yeah.
That's why our policy is to try not to park in the driveway if it's
right.
a possibility. Sometimes it's
yeah,
not.
And that's one instance. So you can definitely do things to avoid that from happening. Right. But really, was it the body shop's fault that a detailer threw away or lost that little button? I mean, is there anything, honestly, that they could have done to prevent that?
It was a legitimate accident, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if it's a new detailer, when they threw all the stuff in the plastic bag in the back, you know, the guy's got 10 cars he's probably doing in a day. You know, what, you know, that's education, right? We all know that we have those new, you know, the new salt delivery guy that's brand new, who has the best intention, who's just simply never, you know, we kind of assume that they're going to have that kind of thought and that common sense. So what we can do to avoid that definitely is education, right? To make sure that everybody understands the policy and to make sure. But I think what would have made me feel better in general with all of that was empathy, right? Simply them not just brushing it off like it was, I mean, the reality, it wasn't that big a deal. But to acknowledge that it had been a problem, to say, oh man, that's, you know, I'm really sorry about that. We need to address that. You know, we need to definitely talk to these guys about that. You know, something that acknowledged, and then some appreciation, no matter how much was there, for the fact that I didn't raise a big fit about it and demand that they buy me a new one right there. You know, go down to the Chrysler dealership and buy me a new one. I mean, I kind of let them off easy. I mean, I'm talking about it, but I'm not naming them or anything here. And I will put a good review on there, you know, and not mention that, because I don't think they need to be dinged for that one, you know. But I think I would have preferred that they just simply acknowledge it. And I guess that's my summary with this, as we end up, you know, in the call on this whole story and what's the moral of the story and what do we do to address this. Number one, let's be aware that those types of things, even the little things, can have a large impact on your customers. They could stop you from getting those referrals. I think follow-up is really key. This is, again, why it's so critical that you as a sales professional be back in touch after the installation, after the service, when we touch those customers, that you're out there talking to them. I think it's really important that we are out there communicating with them so that we can give the empathy that the young delivery guy maybe didn't give, okay, or the service tech didn't give, or the person in the office didn't give. We can definitely make sure that we do that. And I think the biggest thing is just to acknowledge, just to be human in those situations, put yourself in their place, and just be human, okay? You know, think what would you want? What would bother you, and what would make you feel warm and fuzzy after the event? Any final thoughts on that? I think we're out of time here. Any final thoughts or comments? Okay, everybody, thank you very much. I really do appreciate everybody's time. Please be safe. Have a great weekend, and happy Halloween, and if that's your thing, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.